Nice. Oh, man. You guys can put that backdrop up for me. The title of my message is Lay Your Burdens Down. And I had Pastor Elijah and the team do that song for transition. Check your shame at the door, because it ain't welcome here anymore. Amen. What happens in the Father's house? Prodigals come home. Helpless find hope. Love is on the move when the Father's in the house. The dead come to life. Miracles take place. The cynical find faith. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Jericho walls are quaking. Strongholds are now shaken. Love is breaking through when the Father's in the room. Lay your burdens down. I told you, God's up to something this morning. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. Last week, Pastor Dave preached on having an active faith. And I feel today we have an opportunity to activate our faith. Today is going to be a song, scripture, and story kind of day. My sense this morning is God wants to shed some things off of us to bring us into a larger and bigger place of freedom in Him. Again, one of the prophetic words. My main text is in 1 Peter 5. Why don't you turn there with me? In either your Bible, your phones, mobile devices, 1 Peter chapter 5, we're going to look at a few verses. An opportunity, again, can't say this enough, to activate our faith. The main text, and we'll look at a bunch of scriptures together. The main text this morning is one verse, 1 Peter 5, verse 7, says, "Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." It takes an active faith to do that. And the theme, I have to laugh, of 1 Peter as he writes to the Romans was hope in the midst of suffering. I'm looking at 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." Verse 7, "Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Verse 9, "Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen."
Amen.
And Anna, thanks for that. I want to shout out Joe Lopez. Joe Lopez is watching online. He had a heart attack yesterday. He's doing fine. He had a stent put in, right? He's doing well. The family's here praising the Lord. Joe texted me during service, says, "Live stream is on." He's like, "What's going on?" I knew I had to look at my phone. I pulled my phone up and Joe Lopez is there. "Is live stream on?" I'm like, "My man, he's in the hospital. What is he doing?" I'm like, "Are we good now?" He's like, "Yeah, I jumped on too early." Come on. God is good. Peter has some instructions here for us, four that I want to look at as we kind of unfold what he's saying to us. Not only Peter, but listening to the Holy Spirit this morning. In verse 6, the first instruction is to humble ourselves. It says there, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time." We're to bring ourselves low. Verse 5, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. We are called to submit every area of our lives to God. Now, this is kingdom culture talk. Business and world culture is climb the ladder, right? For a place of prominence and success. Position yourself for advancement. But kingdom posturing, if you will, is submitting to God. Maybe a heart or attitude adjustment is required. Maybe a realignment of our priorities is in order to do that. We need to come under the mighty, powerful hand of God. We must position ourselves under the hand of God for protection and provision in every area of our lives. Now, I know we know that, but it's a whole different thing in doing it. Again, it's activating our faith to do that. Why? Why should we do that? Well, that He may lift us up, as the verse continues, elevate us, if you will, in due time. Two things very obviously to note there. He does the lifting up. He does the exalting, and it's in His timing. How many of us get hung up on the timing thing? Yeah, amen, amen right there. We need an active faith to rest in and rely on Him to do the lifting, and submit to His timetable. We all get hung up in that, and that's why I'm saying it's an active faith. You know the saying, the Lord's never early but always on time? Yeah. He's never on my timetable. In due time means it could either happen in this life or the next. How does that make you feel? I kind of want it now. We need to activate our faith and lay our burdens down. Are you with me? The second instruction Peter gives us, verse 7, cast all your anxiety. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. I'm sure some, if not most, of the anxiety that we have in our lives comes from us trying to figure it out, trying to do it our own way. We are instructed here to cast, to throw upon all of our anxieties onto God. Carrying our worries, stresses, and struggles shows we are actually not trusting God fully in some area of our lives. Just think about that one a little bit. The thing that comes to mind, the area that you are worrying about right now as you're sitting here listening to the Word of God, or that thing that's causing angst and anxiety, somehow, some way, you have not released full control to God in that area of your life. It's not a time of condemnation. It's just a reality check and just going, we've got to activate our faith and let that thing go to Him. So many times I think we've used those things to define ourselves, and we ought not. You're not all about your situation or circumstances, but so many times we've made our life about those things. And God just simply says, hey, I'm here. Cast all your anxieties on Me. All. Corrie ten Boom says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but empties today of its strength. So why are we hanging on? Oh, good question. Good question for me too. Why are we hanging on to those things? It's just sometimes it's so hard to let go. We hold on to the anxiety? Yeah, some reason, somehow we do. Luke 12, 22, right? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Matthew 6, 25, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why are we giving today's troubles more power over our lives? It saps the strength of tomorrow. We're not called to carry our anxieties, we're called to cast them. Our Heavenly Father says, throw them all on Me. I love You. I care for you. We need to submit to God, not the circumstances in our lives. Casting all our anxieties and submitting to Him, again, is just another opportunity to activate our faith. In faith, I'm saying, God, I give this to You. I take my hands off. Lay Your burdens down. Third instruction in verse 8, look with me. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Peter says, listen, pay attention, wake up. Again, I think there was another prophetic word. Pay attention. We need to realize we have a real mortal enemy looking to do us harm in any way possible. Like a lion looking to attack a young, sick, straggling, or weak animal. He's there. Our enemy, the devil, prowls around quietly, watching, waiting to pounce on us when we least suspect it. And we are most susceptible to attack when we are under persecution and times of weakness. Again, nothing new. I think we know that. But it's just a reminder this morning, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling downtrodden, God knows. And the enemy knows, and he's looking to pounce on us when we are at those low points. But at those times, when we're full of angst, God says, cast them all on me, because I care for you. That's why we can't let our guard down, especially during those times. When we feel lonely or in times of fear or temptation is crouching at the doorstep, or we're stressed out, depressed, worried, and the list goes on. In those times of weakness, it's imperative we stay alert, because that's when the enemy is going to try to come at us. Is it spiritual warfare? Darn right it is. We need to understand the rules of engagement. It's guerrilla warfare. He plays dirty. Ephesians 6, Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. His schemes, every which way possible, trying to get us. The fourth instruction, verse 9, says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, resist the devil, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Resist the devil, oppose him, stand firm against him. James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How are we to resist him? How do we do this? By standing firm in the faith. Being steadfast, strong, stable in our faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let your faith be stirred this morning. It is not by accident or coincidence the songs the team sang, the prophetic words that you heard this morning are here to activate our faith in him. You are here at an appointed time. Hear what the word of God is saying for our lives. Activate our faith, leaning on, resting in God. The enemy's goal is to separate us from God, try to make us stand on our own. Do this fight on your own. If I can get them separated from him. Wait, I thought we sang nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can. We need to stand firm in our faith. So in the context of laying our burdens down, we find these instructions from Peter. Humble ourselves, casting all our anxiety on him, being self-controlled and alert, and resist the devil by standing firm in the faith. What happens when we follow those instructions? Verse 10, he will restore us. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. The God of all grace. Are you with me? All grace. All the grace we'd ever need in all of life's circumstances is at our disposal. Amen. All the stuff that we're going through, in light of eternal glory that we're called to in Christ, will soon be over. And we say, amen. Yeah, not soon enough. He will restore us, make us strong, firm, and steadfast. We need to stop struggling and straining and get ourselves all worked up and anxious about stuff. Here's the point of it. He will restore us. He will do it. He does the work as we lay our burdens down. And now let me go C.S. Lewis on you just a little bit. I want to read something to you about a young boy named Eustace from a C.S. Lewis story, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I have to laugh again because how God set things up. I'm working through a book by Curtis Zachary called Soul Rest. And it's a book on reclaiming your life by examining the Sabbath, the goal of soul rest. And I just found this story spoke to me. Picked it up the other day and bam, just spoke to me as I was preparing for the weekend. Eustace, this young boy, if you will, is a spoiled, angry young kid who puts people off by the way he acts. At one point in the story, he leaves the group that he's traveling with because they're doing ship repairs and he doesn't want to get involved in helping everybody out, so he kind of leaves them. And there's a sudden downpour as he's leaving and he goes into a cave once occupied by a dragon. There's all kinds of treasure inside there, and the greed gets the best of him, and he starts filling his pockets with all kinds of treasure, and then finds these bracelets, these large gold bracelets, and he puts them on. Falls into a deep sleep, and these bracelets cause him to be transformed into a dragon. And as a dragon, he starts to realize and understand the error of his ways and the true nature of his reprehensible behavior. And the pain of this realization and how he's alienated himself from humanity by being such a mean and despicable person weighs heavy on him now. And the large lion, Aslan, comes to the scene. King of Narnia arrives and leads Eustace to a well at the center of a garden at the top of a mountain. Just picture it, if you will. Eustace wants to climb into the well to soothe the pain from the bracelets because they're digging into his flesh. And Aslan instructs him and says, "You first must undress to get into the water." So Eustace, using his own claws, starts to tear away the dragon scales. But each time he removes a layer, he finds another one. He does this about 3 times and realizes it's useless to do it on his own. He will never be able to shed himself of the pain or completely cleanse himself from the dragon skin. Aslan finally says, "You have to let me undress you." The thought of this is frightening to Eustace because of Aslan's massive claws, but he realizes the only way to be completely free is to let Aslan do it. And this is what Eustace says. "The very first tear he made was so deep, I thought it had gone right into my heart. And when it began pulling the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling the stuff peel off." Well, he peeled the beastly stuff right off, just as I thought I'd done myself the other 3 times, only they hadn't hurt. And there it was lying on the grass, only so much more thicker and darker and more knobby looking than the others had been. And there I was, as smooth and soft as a peeled switch, and smaller than I had been. Then he caught hold of me. I didn't like that much, for I was very tender underneath thou that I had no skin, and he threw me into the water. It smarted like anything, but only for a moment. After that, it became perfectly delicious. As soon as I started swimming and splashing, I found that all the pain had gone from my arm. And then I saw why. I turned into a little boy again. He let Aslan do the work. May I say this morning, we need to let the Holy Spirit do the work. Well, I'm not calling all of us dragons with scales. But you get the idea, right? At what point do we move past the cursory level of our own self-care? How many times does it take for us to realize it's useless to remove the scales on our own? What's the pain threshold we need to experience to finally let go and let God? Lay your burdens down. Are you trying to figure it out on your own? And it's causing all of that angst and all that turmoil. Eustace tried as best he could. And we're all trying the best we can sometimes to manage and try to get through this journey called life. But God's right there in his love and his tenderness and saying, would you just lay it at the throne of grace? Just lay down your burdens. That's where freedom comes, at the feet of Jesus and the throne of grace. Last week, we participated in the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, right? We shared communion together. And we heard about having an active faith. Well, that was last week. What about today? What about tomorrow? And the next day? We're called each and every day to have an active faith. And you know what? It's as simple as Pastor Elijah and I were talking about this during the week. How? I mean, we lay this out to everybody. How do we do this? It's one foot in front of the other. That's all it is. Just take a step of faith and let go of that thing that has a hold on you. That's all it is. It's not a what do we say, Elijah? Is it the red pill or the blue pill? Right? We want the easy fix. Come on, man. Just give me the pill. Just make this go away. We know the one who will take it away. But we continue to try to do it on our own. He's right there. I care for you, he says. Come on, cast all your anxieties on me. We not only have the opportunity to do that, but the gift, the invitation even, to lay our burdens down. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Amen. Amen. Stand with me, would you? Bless the Lord. God is good. Amen. Join me as I pray, as we're released. Contemplate what the word of the Lord has for each of us. Kind of a just kind of a somber change in how we started in things, but understanding the love of God for us. In all of the excitement and the hype of worship, which it's great, right? It's good. The hair on the back of our neck stands and we're excited and the heart rate goes and the whole thing. And we worship him and we praise him and we're hearing the prophetic words and the whole thing. Now what? Because you're going to leave. You're going to walk through these doors. You're going to go out to the parking lot and get in your car and we go on another day. Or is it not just another day? Is it that God spoke to us this morning to possibly bring a paradigm shift into our thinking and the way we're approaching the mountain that you know is waiting for you tomorrow, because it's Monday? What do you get today? What tools have we been equipped with to handle that mountain tomorrow? It's just simply activate your faith and lay your burdens down. Father, it sounds so easy to me, to all of us, and yet we still struggle with it. We know your word. We know what it says. Father, I simply pray, as I've said, that we would activate our faith this morning. That you'd give us the strength and the boldness to do so, to literally have so much faith in you to let go of that thing that's got a hold of us. And let freedom reign in our lives. Not because we have the answers, but because we know who has the answers, and that's you. Father, I pray your grace, your peace, your empowering, activating faith upon each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.
All of a sudden, it's like, but anyway.